Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good,
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream. This is AfterBuzz TV for American Horror Story. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest American Horror Story news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for American Horror Story.
All right. Welcome to AfterBuzz TV for American Horror Story, our finale episode entitled Afterbirth. I am Billy Nellis, or otherwise known as Ben Harmon. The worst therapist in the world, here to preside over this group therapy session. I am joined, as always, by Constance Langdon, David Scifoletti.
What up? I'm a pretty lady.
Can we take a moment just to describe for all of our listeners what David is wearing tonight?
Yes. David Scifoletti is modeling the latest in caftan couture. It's a powder blue caftan or choir robe. We're not sure.
Only to be adorned by various strings of pearls.
And the greatest updo.
Styled by Sydney DeBaere.
Yes.
Since.
And two strands of pearls.
Yes.
His blonde hair cascading down his chiseled facial structure.
If you don't watch this live,
you should.
Or if you don't watch it on AfterBuzz.com, yes. Then you should definitely.
If you're listening via iTunes, please search for
check
the
it out just yeah. for that.
Right. Just for my awesome look of the week.
Across from us at the table, we have Stephanie Chaplick dressed as the lovely Violet.
I'm too hip to.
Yeah,
you're just missing a cigarette. That's the only thing you're really missing.
Fake cigarette. Both cigarette in my hand.
And next to her, Deidre Bahar dressed as...
Old Moira.
That's right.
And
joining us via satellite way over on the couch.
In space. No, I'm
our
in
special
space.
Guest.
Our special guest, Sydney DeBaere, as the dueling Moira.
Yes.
Young Moira.
The young, seductive. And don't forget the twins, the demon
right.
babies.
And we have the demon twins, the feed bears.
My boyfriends over
yes.
here.
Yeah. Demon fetus one, demon fetus
well,
two.
Well, we've gotten our introductions out of the way.
Thank
we've,
goodness.
We've gotten that out of the way. We need to jump into what we just witnessed.
We need to jump into afterbirth.
What wow. we just watched. Ugh.
Gross.
Jump into afterbirth.
Yes.
Aren't you supposed to eat the weird. Afterbirth? It's really good for your skin.
They eat the placenta? That is
ew.
The afterbirth, right?
Are you serious?
People do eat that.
Yeah.
I've heard that.
It's like apparently really high in
it's full of
in
nutrients.
Vitamins
I don't
nutrients,
care what it's so. High in or if it gets me high. I'm not eating that.
All right.
It's fine.
Well, let's get right into
to each
it.
Each their own.
Because there is a lot to talk about. There is a lot to ponder for what is to come.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
There is a lot.
Yes.
So we... start this episode with a flashback to 9 months prior.
Mm-hmm. To everything.
Right.
When life was good.
Right.
Well, I don't think it was great.
At that point, it wasn't great. It wasn't that great.
It was relative to what it is now.
But it was better than dead.
Yes.
So I suppose anything may be good.
Yes.
In comparison.
Okay, Constance.
And we saw the conversation when Ben first introduced the House of Doom. To Vivian.
Vivian was not having it.
No.
Vivian like, wanted nothing to do with him.
Well, yeah. I mean, thank you. My wig's
you got a devil's up. Peak.
Sorry. she wanted nothing to do with the relationship anymore. She was like, I'm not moving to LA. I'm going to Florida. I'm going to be with my sister.
Yeah.
I'm done. She
and
would deal with it.
If only she had, she would still be alive.
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Live.
Right? If only.
We Is that why they showed us that? They wanted to basically be like, you really didn't know what
you were
doing.
You were close.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was just out. I think it was just to point out just how tragic it was. Like how many opportunities they had to avoid this.
He was so drawn to that house too.
Yeah, I had no idea he was so stoked on it prior to taking the tour.
Well, think about it. You're moving cross country and you're a therapist and you want to like restart everything and you're not making a lot of money. You're leaving a teaching job and you need a new home and it's the house is the right price. I mean,
yeah, you definitely don't think that ghosts and demons are going to take over. You're like,
that's
okay, cool, it's haunted.
Your first reaction? That's
like, weird. I mean, that would be my first reaction. I would be like, okay, they're definitely
after
demons.
Watching this. That's
and I'm definitely gonna my whole family's gonna get killed.
Hey guys, question. I have a caller on the line who would love to join in on your chat.
All right,
I would love to have them.
Caller, what's your name? Where are you from?
Hi.
Did you say Katie from Newport Beach?
Yes.
Okay.
It's very faint.
We're having a little trouble hearing you. We're going to wait till little DJ Jesse Janity in the booth figures that out for us. So give us 1 second, okay, Katie?
Okay, thank you.
Oh, much better.
There we go. Well, welcome, Katie. What's on your mind?
Thank you. Well, I just want to say, first of all, I am so obsessed with the show and even more obsessed with the after show. I think you guys are so fun to watch.
Aww.
Thank you.
And especially fun tonight. I am loving this whole costume idea. I was wondering how you guys decided who would be who. Is it like your favorite character? Who is your favorite character?
Well, kidding.
Well,
Katie.
David,
listen
David,
here, Katie.
David's the most natural Constance.
Yeah, yes.
It was an obvious choice.
Clearly.
Right.
I think David really identifies with a lot of the same character traits that Constance has. So it was just a natural choice.
It was just a
choice.
Great little segue into my caftan. Blonde wigness.
Yeah. Now, we knew that Stephanie Chappie was going to be Violet because in her own day-to-day life, this is sort of how she dresses. So that was another natural choice.
Yeah.
It was easy to get this together.
It was very easy. To be completely honest, Sydney and I have a friend who had two French maid costumes and it worked. So we went ahead and borrowed them. Thank you, Ashley Wasser, for letting us borrow your costumes.
Shout out. And Deidre's obviously old Moira.
I'm obviously old Moira because I'm a very old soul.
Yeah.
I'm very wise, as you can tell by listening to me and all my great insights. And Sydney's obviously very youthful. So she's youthful Moira.
Yeah.
And then Billy and I were texting earlier, and I was like, you should either be Ben or Tate. I was like, you know, I have a pretty weird beanie that has a weird skull on it, and you could be mass murderer Tate. And he literally wrote back, I'm going to be Ben.
I felt like I could pull Ben off. I'm always sort of the ringleader of this group. And
yeah, he's the most dapper put together of
yes.
us, so it was just natural.
I take offense to that.
And may I add, you are quite a Ben. You do him justice.
You do.
And Dylan McDermott is not easy to replicate.
Oh,
thank you.
Thanks, Katie.
Thank you.
You love the show, Katie?
I'm a huge fan. I wasn't really, the first episode really scared me, but then I started watching it with some of my friends who are so obsessed with it, and I cannot stop watching.
Oh, good.
What did you think of tonight's episode?
All the lights on, it's okay.
Have you watched tonight yet?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
Okay.
I'm waiting for all my friends to actually come over. We're having a little finale party. But
a little
I want to make sure, because I always try to call in, and it's always so busy. But I'm so happy I got in tonight.
Well, we're glad you called, but I want you to turn us off, because I don't want to ruin anything for you. So once we hang up, turn us off.
And then find us on iTunes
and
tomorrow.
And then watch later, because I don't want to ruin any of tonight's episode for you.
You'll enjoy it.
Thank you guys so much for taking my call, and I can't wait for the next season so I can watch you guys too.
Yay!
Thank you.
Thank
Have
you.
A great night. Enjoy the show.
Thanks. Bye.
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 All right. Well, I feel like we should wait like a beat so she can turn off her browser. I don't want to ruin anything for her.
Take my wig off. I'm getting very hot.
Katie, you get 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay.
All right.
Aww.
sorry.
So
now you just look like a priest with pearls.
I'm sorry, I'm getting very hot and there's plastic hair everywhere.
That was a very expensive wig you're wearing.
All right.
All right.
No lace
Let's
front.
Let's get back to
Real
it.
Let's jump in.
Wig.
So yes. We were talking about, you know, we saw that Viv had wanted nothing to do with this. She really did not want to go. She had no real desire to be with Ben any longer. She was going to go to Florida. This thing we've heard all season long. My sister in Florida. And she was, she's been trying to get there as hard as she can. And it never worked out.
We've never met the sister.
No, who never showed up like she was supposed to in this episode as Ben thought she was coming as well. We find out also early on that Constance has been caring for the one baby who made it out alive. In his grief, Ben sort of let her take care of him. We're shown. And he goes...
I mean, I don't think he really had a choice. He was so distraught over his wife dying and then finding out his daughter's a ghost. And, like, how do you even handle any of that? And the woman's just there.
Right.
And she walked out with the baby, so it's just sort of like, you know
what? Thank goodness she did.
Right.
Yeah. So we see that she has the baby, and he comes back, and he's, you know, ready to take the baby back. And he wants he wants the baby back with him. And we think that he's gonna get out of there. And first we see, you know, he's taking her the baby and he says, none of this was your fault. And he leaves the baby upstairs and he goes and he's in the kitchen and very meticulously laying every single key and card and phone number.
It's like one of those things that they always talk about. People who commit suicide always get their ducks in a row before they commit the act.
Right.
And sort of let
they don't want any questions to be left.
Right. And so he laid out his life insurance plans. He put all the keys, the code for the alarm system. And
right. And we knew that the sister was coming and this was his plan.
Right.
That the sister was going to be on her way to save the baby, rescue the baby, and he was going to kill himself to be with
the rest of his
family, and also to get the baby out of there. Also, it was interesting in this first part, we learned a little bit more into how the ghosts in the house work. As he first arrives back with the baby, we see Vivian in the kitchen with Moira, and as he comes in, she says, he can't see you unless you want him to.
Because she freaked out and was going to hide.
And we see these really great shots of him walking in, and they're there, and then they're not, and then they're there again. And they did some really cool cinematography with that to sort of show to us how that was happening and what was really occurring in that kitchen. So we finally got some more answers.
And, like, what has been happening throughout the entire season.
Right.
Without, unbeknownst to us.
A lot of questions were answered in this final episode.
Yeah.
Which... thank goodness.
Right. And, you know, I think that, you know, we were sort of sitting there as we were watching this, and I'm sure that there were a lot of people who were wondering what was going on. There was so much being answered that it was sort of like what was left. But I can't help but feel like it's the better alternative to having nothing answered.
Yeah.
And just left to drag on. At the very least, we really got an answer to everything tonight. Everything
to any question that you've had throughout the season was answered in tonight's episode,
right? Which I think is great, because the so very rarely does that happen on television.
Yeah. And usually you're left, especially with a season finale and a show like this, you're usually left with a cliffhanger to want to come back and watch next season. And in this, everything, all the stories were ended,
and there still also was a relative cliffhanger as well.
Yeah, a small one.
Something to
is technically the only thing that we still want to find out about Constance's fourth child.
And whatever this new...
and whatever's going on with this new baby.
Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Michael.
I mean, they have to have so many secrets and plans lined up. I mean, you don't just answer everything in this and then, like, what are we going to do? You
know? Oh, yeah.
So I'm sure they have, like, a million things planned out. They're going to start asking us questions that we don't even know that we're going to want to know yet.
Right.
And so, speaking about questions, we have another fan who has a question of their own.
Awesome.
Yay. Carly, you're on the line. What's your name? Where are you from?
Hey, Billy, this is Tierney from L.A. You tweeted me to call in.
Hi, Tierney. So what did you think? Tierney works at E! Online.
Oh, cool.
She was tweeting about the show, and I got her to call in and give her thoughts. So what did you think of tonight's episode? Lay it on us.
Well, we in the office got it yesterday, and we were waiting all day, like, harassing the people at FX. Like, we need the screener. We need it. And I was kind of looked down after watching it.
Okay.
I don't know. I think I expected more answers.
Oh,
like, really? You guys liked all the answers? I didn't really like... I thought that nothing was really explained about the house.
Right. Okay, I can see that. Like, the true, like, what the power is.
I look at the house as a character.
Right.
And we didn't really learn anything about it, like why people who want babies are attracted to it. It seems like the real estate agent maybe was attracting people to that house for it. And I don't know, we just didn't get any answers, which I was kind of annoyed about with that.
Right, I could see that. That is definitely an area that no answer really was given or was even addressed.
I completely agree with you, because all they talk about is these, you know, unforeseen forces and capabilities that the house has, yet that was not explored at all in this episode. I would have liked to have seen more of a concrete approach to answering that question.
What do you guys want? Like, somebody put a spell on it? Something like
some
that.
Sort
you
of a
like
back a back lineage the as only, to how this
the
house.
The only thing that I can counter argue to that is in the episode when they finally explain what Charles Montgomery did in the basement. I sort of felt as what opened the evil up into that house.
That's how I felt as well. Right. Earlier on in the season when they explained what he, I think it was at the midpoint of the season, they let us in to know what he had been doing previously, and I think that's sort of what just like sparked the evil energy to keeping them there. As opposed to, we also did get a fan mail letter that we'll read later on the air that explains that only ghosts that have unfinished business stay on this plane, whether it's the house or their own unfinished business keeping them there. That might also help to explain why nothing was divulged about the home, because it might just be the spirits staying on their own accord.
Well, someone, one of our readers said that they thought when the demon baby, Michael now, left the house, that the ghost would be released because all the bad energy would have been in that child. And so they thought maybe the ghost would be let out for that reason. So I thought they were going to get rid of some of the ghosts, maybe, or even give an option of, on how to get rid of them.
Right.
I was hoping
the
cast
was leaving.
Right. What I've been, there's so many options of what they're going to do. And when we talked about last week, where we kind of thought maybe this would become an anthology series and this story would kind of end, I don't think that's going to happen now the way they've left it. But I do sort of see an opportunity in season two to these ghosts who are sort of at peace, like the Harmons are, to now their new struggle is to find a way to get out of this house and to find a way to move on. And that could set up the new driving conflict of the entire season next season, which I think could be a strong story possibility. Whether Ryan Murphy's going to do that, I don't know. Maybe I'll send him an idea and get some credit for it.
I mean, maybe that's the ultimate mystery, is the mystery of the house. Why is the house that way? Why can't you leave? Or, you know, those are the enormous questions. We got all the little direct questions answered.
Right.
Tate and all those different things. But maybe that's their waiting. Yeah. That's what they build up to, ultimately.
Right, the big deal.
The series.
Right.
I just don't want to have to... Personally, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I just don't want to have to like sit through another season of watching another family or like another group
like
of people like discovering what's happening in the house.
Well,
agreed.
And we had talked about that last week. And as I was literally driving over here, I was thinking to myself about that and like what they would do if they continued it. And I sort of feel like a new family could come in, but not even be the main characters. And we really wouldn't even have to watch that happen. There's so many things they could do with just keeping the story centered on the ghost world that it's just like, oh yeah, there's people walking around, but we don't really do anything with them anymore.
Right, sort of like the others.
The others, or like Beetlejuice, but less so than Beetlejuice, whereas they're not trying to get rid of them, they just don't really care about the people being there.
Tierney, did anything else stand out to you about the episode, whether you liked it or didn't like it?
I mean, I actually really did enjoy it as an episode, and I kind of liked it coming full circle with Ben thinking the house would be the couple's salvation, and it actually was. In a sense, in a warped way, they actually did find their salvation and happiness within their family.
Right.
But look at you.
I think I just expected so much from the episode before. It was just batshit crazy. I don't know if you wanted to curse, sorry.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I did like it. I think my expectations were a little too high.
I think everybody's
were. I was with you. Yeah. Especially
we were
after
all shocked. When Ben died, we literally all of us in the room could go, no.
First there's no way.
Jerking, like, we... So that I'll give them that. None of us were expecting what they brought with that episode. So, I mean, on the creativity aspect, I
sort of expected Ben to die, but I didn't expect him to die like 10 minutes into the episode.
Right.
At all.
I thought he was going to have to make more choices. I didn't think it was going to be forced on him like, Hayden's going to murder you.
Right.
Fun.
Yeah, I definitely expected to see some sort of a struggle carried out. Like, I'm alive, but my wife and my daughter are dead. Like, I definitely expected to see more of that sort of a dynamic, but literally, what was it, 7 minutes in?
Yeah.
Which
crazy, is, crazy psycho Hayden.
Yeah, that struggle happened, but then he made that decision, but, I mean, he, like, didn't get out of the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, right. All right. Anything? Any other thoughts, Tierney? You've got for us?
That's about it. I mean, Constance's fourth child is like my main concern for season two.
Right.
That's
right.
About it.
I think that it is the evil demon that lives in the basement. The one that Tate originally scared this girl from school.
No. That's Thaddeus. Nora. That's Nora's son.
That's Thaddeus' son. Frankenstein.
Oh, when
baby.
Did we learn that?
Long time ago, girl.
I wasn't paying attention.
I have a crazy Constance theory. I think apparently there's like a medical thing where if you have twins and one dies, the personality can go over to the other. And I think Tate might have two personalities.
You think?
I don't know. That he might have two personalities because he had a twin that died.
Oh. That would be crazy.
You know what? And that's totally plausible because that would explain why he's half mass murderer, half like romantic.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
I mean, yeah, that's like my crazy theory. I don't think it's right at all.
Oh my gosh. But, well, you know. That does not seem like something, or it does seem like something that Ryan Murphy would totally integrate into the show.
Definitely.
The crazier it is, the more chance
he
it's going
to
be.
He seems to
the
like
show.
To look up rare disorders and use them.
And, yeah.
Or he just so knows be, them like I do.
Oh, sorry.
Right. You
He's
and
just
Ryan
smart
Murphy
like that.
One in the same.
All right, Tierney. Well, thank you for calling right, and sharing with us.
Thank you.
That's what talking to you.
Yeah. Have a good night.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, so. As we did see, before we took the phone call, we were, you know, talking about Ben, and we did see Ben get murdered, which I like we talked about, we expected him to die. Expect that. I didn't expect it to come when it did and how it did. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's what,
for the writers and the producers of such like a hit show and like this, like crazy roller coaster ride that they
and it's
been
and
brought.
It's sort of on like the cultural zeitgeist to then sort
right
of
to
do
then
that.
Just kill all your main characters off in the first season is so ballsy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And it's just like
they can
shocking. I mean, they can do whatever they want. Mm-hmm.
As that was happening though, I was like, "Where's Violet? Where's anyone to save
him?"
I was so convinced he was not dying that soon. On I was so convinced he wasn't, and then like the baby was gonna make it out, which it did eventually, but like. I just, my mind was blown.
Yeah. That was the one thing. I was like, why aren't they at least there sort of trying to stop it or
something?
Whether it just happened so fast that they couldn't or
give me
what.
Something.
I know. I mean, maybe that's to be addressed and could be
in season two.
Could be a seat of conflict between them. Why didn't you come try and help me when I was being murdered?
He doesn't seem to mind though.
It,
I mean, I think
he's with
he was
them.
Happy.
And I think that might be why it didn't matter, because essentially they got to be together.
Right. And, I mean, that was what he wanted, and this
he
way,
didn't
it wasn't,
have the courage to do it himself.
It wasn't his choice that he ended his own life for this baby's sake. But.
Right.
Some demon seed.
Right. And then so immediately we see Marcy get into business, working her weirdo magic.
There's something up with that one.
Yeah.
She knows streets. Something. She's in on something. It's just bizarre.
Right.
Whoever brought that up, you nailed it. She knows more. She knows there's something else
going on. And
we've
been talking about that since like the first episode, I think. We've been wondering.
Ryan Murphy's hinted at that.
There's got. And what's interesting though is there was an interview with Ryan Murphy that we read in one of our shows where he said that he loves the character, but every week he's been waiting to kill her, but he just likes writing for her so much he hasn't. Which then makes me think that she doesn't hold very much into the storyline.
Right.
Or else why would she always be like on the cusp of death?
Yeah, but he could easily change that because she's so insignificant at this point in time. And they kind of made her creepy in this episode, like with the dog and trying.
Uh-huh.
Like, I feel like he could easily change his mind and come up with some sort of a backstory for
her. Right. No, definitely they could. But I just felt like all season long we were like, maybe she does mean more. But I don't think at this season she did.
Right.
In this season, I don't think she.
There was enough room for her to mean anything cards, more.
Yeah.
I mean, there was so much that it was like.
But I think that at this point.
Don't put more on there. Don't put any more on there.
At this point, though, they sort of set her up to be a larger character for season two if they do continue with the same home and the same characters.
Right. And she is, I mean, that actress is sort of she's a relative name, which is why I felt like she would be something more. Because Christine Esterbrook isn't like just some random person who you hire to fill like a bit role. She's like a Broadway, like. Superstar, like a name. But so we do see the new couple move in, the Ramoses.
Was that their name?
That was their name.
I did not catch it.
That was
Shout
name.
Out to Ryan Murphy for bringing in the Latino flavor.
Right.
All about that.
Deidre always appreciates a good
Always appreciative of that.
And immediately Ben and Viv know that they need to do something, that this house is going to just do what it did to
it's
them,
gonna
and they can't
family.
Sit back and watch that.
Well, it especially blows my mind that everyone gets in that house and has baby fever. Like, you have a grown...
Well, you have to think about it. They moved in, and their son... Carlos was his name?
I don't remember.
I don't know. Who cares?
Gabe.
Thank you. Yeah. Carlos. His name was Juan.
Don't discriminate.
Yeah,
over there.
Don't just throw out a Carlos. It was totally Gabe.
Someone was Carlos.
I think the husband.
Maybe the husband was Carlos.
Okay.
Anyway.
Carlos was said. There we go. We'll give
there
you that.
We go. They move into the house. Their son, Gabe, was the same age as
Violet.
Right.
There's a lot of parallels between the two families.
Except one's Latin.
And what in the sun was in
I mean,
the
thank you for pointing that out.
Right. No problem.
What I think was interesting was it did sort of bookend the season. We talked about bringing the Hyman family full circle into finding their happiness, bringing them back. This sort of bookended it. This brought them to that by having this family come in that paralleled them so closely. Mm-hmm. And they realized what they needed to do to protect these people from this.
And to protect any future prospective buyers of the home.
Right. They're like the extra security.
They're the Caspers.
I have to say, that was my favorite part of the entire show.
The haunted house.
It reminded me of literally, like, they were putting on a haunted house for little kids on Halloween.
Yeah.
They were having so much fun with it.
Oh,
yeah.
Horrifying. Scarring.
But it was really well done.
Those
and they
people,
were, it was
like,
funny.
That family's like we'll in padded cells. Like,
I know.
Never recover from this.
Rocking back and forth eating applesauce because they can't handle anything anymore. I mean, how could you, would you be able to handle, like, I don't know what I would do, how broken I would be after watching
people murder
themselves.
I would be addicted to Ambien.
Well, wouldn't you have run out of the house a lot sooner? Like, I feel like it took them a long time to get out of there.
Gabe couldn't get out of his room because of Tate. The woman was fighting off Ben in the rubber suit, finally came downstairs. The husband was, like, in a trance.
He was in, like, his fugue
state. They were trying to get out.
But then they stopped and watched the Ben and Vivian show. Okay? Vivian, like, cut Ben in half.
Ben shot her. He had a gun.
Whatever. I guess I'm being harsh because I'm privy to the information and they're not.
Exactly. But, yeah. Like, standing there in your nightgown.
And you're also probably, like, stunned to hell and you can't even really move.
Yeah.
You
right.
Know what
you're
to do.
In
complete
shock. So that's what I was going to say. It was you can't move. Like, if this is happening in front of me, I don't think I'd be like.
I would be, like, on the floor, maybe.
I'd hope I'd run.
She stabbed him from the
chest. Like, ripped him apart.
Down.
Like, yes.
His intestines gutted
him.
Falling out.
It reminds me of, like, the first Scream.
Guys, your viewers are blowing us up right now. We have, again, another caller.
Terrific.
Yay.
You're on the line. What's your name? Where are you from?
Hi, this is Max from Florida.
Oh my gosh!
We love you, Max.
Hi, Max.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, how are you?
How are you?
I'm great. Oh my god, tonight's episode was crazy.
So crazy.
Unreal.
What was your favorite or most mind-blowing aspect of the episode?
Well, I don't know if this moment would be exactly mind-blowing, but I definitely, like, felt emotional when Vivian asked Moira to be the baby's godmother. I definitely thought that was, like, really amazing. I don't know. I just really liked that part.
It was a very tender moment.
It was so nice, because I've always rooted for Moira. Moira, for some reason, I've, like, had this really insane connection to that character, because I just feel so bad for her, and I like Frances Conroy so much, I think. But so to see her sort of get that redemption and have a family because she never got to have one, and now she's sort of getting that with the Harmons, it did really sort of touch me.
I loved her. Like,
exactly.
What was her quote? Like, I would have been a good mother had I not been such a tramp.
Yeah.
I laughed so hard. Oh, my God.
She's a trauma.
And I thought it was just nice that there's always so much discord and, like, animosity in that house. It was nice to see a friendly, completely genuine relationship formed between Vivian and old Moira. Like,
I definitely could see them being besties.
Yes, they are.
Besties.
And I think at this point we can just call her Moira because I don't think that young Moira will come out because she doesn't need to be seen anymore.
She doesn't need to. She'll be happy. Yeah, because with Constance, every scene with her, it's like, you know, there's ulterior motives. You're trying to figure it out. And that was very genuine. Mm-hmm. You know, Vivian truly. And Vivian feels bad for her as well. So, yeah, I really liked
it. I feel like they've had a connection for a while and that just really, like,
solidified it.
Right. Yeah. Well, Moira was the first person to sort of help want to enlighten Vivian on what was going on around her.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that sort of kinship because she recognizes that she tried to save her, even though ultimately she couldn't.
Right.
It was a little late for that, but...
Right.
Well, it was a little out of her control, I think.
True.
Moira's control.
Right. She did as much as she could when it's called for it.
Exactly.
Anything else, Max?
Well, I don't know about any of you guys, but I mean, throughout the whole episode, I was kind of like pining for the whole like Vivian Hayden cat fight. I was just, like, I really wanted it.
I want someone to take Hayden out. She
exactly.
Like,
she needs to be smacked upside the head.
Yeah, there needs to be a throwdown. A Viv throwdown would. I agree with you.
Yeah, she definitely needs to get punched. Like, I'm not gonna lie.
It was great when Constance's boyfriend slit her throat to get the baby away from her. But I was hoping for an opportunity for for Vivian to just rip her apart, whether figuratively or literally. I would have settled for either. Yeah.
But at the end of the day,
but Vivian
has got her man.
Yeah. She has everything she wants.
She came out on top.
At the end of the day.
Faux show. Like,
they're both dead.
I was saying, Vivian was so peaceful dead. She was living the dream. She loves it. She's happy. She's got her baby.
And she's got her cello. Yeah.
I mean,
she almost had like an ethereal glow about her. Like when she first talked to Ben, she was just like honestly glowing.
Everything was blurry but her to Ben. Mm-hmm. It was very symbolic, I thought, the way that they shot it.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that is going to filter into the predictions section of what we're going to talk about tonight. How certain ghosts are very, very happy and certain ghosts literally want to commit suicide, figuratively.
You talked about that last week, and I think that that's what I want to think at this point, is that if you had, like, a loving, like, entrance into the afterlife, like...
You are peaceful.
Exactly. And, I mean, obviously, Ben didn't have the most, but he had his family there on the other side.
But Vivian's wasn't a loving entrance. She died giving birth.
But Violet was there telling her, it's okay, let go.
I know, but I'm just... That's probably...
That's what made her at peace. That's
but they're still stuck there. Right. They still obviously have unfinished
business. But that's
why
she's not like an angry, violent ghost.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because she was able to pass with somebody who loved her taking care of her.
But yeah, I loved how saucy Hayden was for like the longest time. I don't know why. Obviously, like, you're meant to hate her, but something about me really liked her. But now that Vivian's on the other side, I'm like, go away. I'm over you. Get out of here.
Well, yeah, like, they're all dead. Stop tormenting their family. Like, leave them alone.
Yeah, exactly.
Go steal a baby from someone else. Okay?
Right. Please never say, go steal a baby again.
Oh, my God, no. Hayden annoyed the shit out of me. Like, I can't even believe, like, half the stuff that she did and just, like, things that she would say. I'm just like, can you just, like, leave already? Like, no one wants you around anymore. Like, can you just go?
Yeah, she's becoming increasingly more aggravating with every episode.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Larry should've killed her off the property.
I still live for her.
No Larry in this episode.
Well, Larry's gone. He's in prison.
I know he's in jail, but
Him via satellite.
I wanted him via satellite, or, I mean, I don't know. They did a really good job of integrating a lot of the characters. Like, even the two twin boys were in this. The nurse in the bathtub was in this.
They were all in the last one, too, though. They did a good job in the last one. The twin boys crashed the car.
When Larry was shipped off to prison, Ryan Murphy did say this is his last episode. That's the last you'll see of Larry. The end of his story.
I count on Ryan Murphy to always prove me wrong. Okay.
I don't know how that would have even fit in.
It wouldn't have fit in.
Because he's not dead.
Incorrect.
There would have been no way for him to be
He's
there.
Doing time in Iowa.
He was mentioned.
Yeah.
By Tate when he said that he burned him.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
but
true.
He was not pictured.
Do you think that they're going to bring more, maybe this is predictions, but do you think they're going to bring more dead families and more stories are going to come about? Like, there are more dead people living in there that,
like,
we don't
more
know about yet?
Histories?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like there has to be, just by sheer, like, the reality of it, but there was an article on Vulture, New York Magazine's pop culture blog, that they counted there are 24 ghosts living in the Harmon House, not counting Ben. We're now up to 25. So, I mean, that's a lot of
characters
to already be taken care of. Like, I think we could live with what we've got and have a fully fleshed out show for, like, a good while.
Yeah.
You want to get into topic number three?
Max.
Anything else for us, Max?
Are you still there?
Are you still there, Max?
Well, other than the fact that, you know, I just really am curious to see where the show goes at this point. I mean, I would like them to focus more on the ghost aspect, but, I mean, if they were to bring another family in, I don't know how I'd feel about that, because it seems so much about, like, the Harmon show, that if they were to bring someone else in, it would kind of feel weird.
Right, and we've all sort of voiced that, and I do think there is a way to do it. Where obviously the house has to be sold and there has to be inhabitants, but I don't think that they need to become as focal a point as the Harmons were this season. But you can still have people living there. I think there is a way to do it, and I think they can find it if they try hard enough.
They'll figure it
out. Because I drove over here listening to Florence and the Machine, and she gave me like three ideas. So Ryan Murphy gets paid lots of money.
What did she tell you?
Well, her song's all about ghosts. Yeah. So I was just listening, and it made me think of things. But if I could think of that, Ryan Murphy can sure
put something together.
Put some stuff together.
I mean, it's supernatural. They can think of whatever they
want.
Well, thank you for calling in, Max.
Yay. All right.
Thank
bye, guys.
You. Bye. Bye. Great to hear from you.
All right.
Pretty Little Liars, January 2nd.
So,
quick little shout out.
We saw them scare this new family away. They've got rid of them, and they sort of realize that this is what they need to do at this point. They're going to become the protectors of the living in this house, I think, is what they...
Yeah, in essence, that's exactly what they've become.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They know that they are the only ones who can, and they're the,
well,
only,
they're the only ones who want to, are willing to do it.
And Ben made a statement at the end. He said, she said, you know, Vivian said, some other poor family is just going to move in here. And he said, yeah, now we know what to do.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, they're exactly just going to perfect their horror show.
Their little game.
Yeah.
Right. And they should really do it earlier on before the family goes into escrow and starts moving stuff in, right?
Yeah.
That would only be polite, but...
save them a move-in.
Save them, like,
fees. Exactly what you said, like, there does need to be somebody living in that house, just for...
Here's
realistic.
Otherwise, they'll tear it down if it's just an empty...
Right. I mean, the only other thing this is totally for predictions, but Constance could always find a way to wiggle herself.
I mean, Constance has been wanting to move back into that house for so long, but now that she has the kid that she doesn't want in the home...
Yeah.
I mean, I think we should jump
right
into...
I'm pretty sure this demon fetus can fend for himself.
Right.
Constance.
What's so interesting is we saw that, you know, we have a three-year time jump now. Mm-hmm. And sort of the coda to this episode is this three-year time jump. We see Constance going to get her hair done. Mm-hmm. And she gives her SAG Award-worthy, Golden Globe-worthy speech.
Monologue. Yeah.
About how all of her trials and tribulations have led her to this culminating... experience that she was meant to raise this child from her distant cousins from some far-off, made-up
from
family.
From the DeLong Prix family.
Right.
I definitely caught that.
Of course.
And so she tells this whole story about this, you know, the son that she has. She goes home, and she calls out for the nanny, and she sees blood, follows this horrific trail of blood up into the baby's room.
David knew the second he saw the blood.
The second I saw the blood on the fridge, I was like, that baby's killing people
Omen
already.
Status.
Yeah. Yeah. And the nanny's dead and the baby is sitting in the rocking chair.
Laughing.
And, like, has blood
on
his
hands.
Okay,
it wasn't a monkey, Billy.
I said, ha ha.
Oh.
That was pretty dead on, because that's how freaky I thought that thing was.
And we see...
An enormous nanny. How did he take her down?
He's got the demon in him.
A butter knife.
Oh, okay.
Oh, the ever-powerful butter knife.
His talons.
Yeah.
His talons.
There was no weapon, so who the hell knows how
he like,
killed her.
Her apart.
And it's It's very possible that... Remember that they told us that the child of a spirit and a living person
is the
spawn
of the world.
He could have ripped her apart.
He could have literally ripped her apart with his hands or his teeth. I mean... For all we know.
Yeah.
Right.
It's kind of like what he did to Vivian when he was born.
Exactly.
He ate his way out. But I want to ask you guys, we sort of end with watching Constance sort of take this in. I mean, what did that look? I mean, there was genuine terror, but I think there was definitely something else.
She gave a kiss, though,
there.
Too. It
I
was
don't
literally
think
like,
she
what
was
am I
afraid.
Gonna do with you?
Uh-huh. She seemed very sort of like...
she was kind of cool with it.
Yeah.
I feel like she kind of... knew this was coming.
I think she fully
knew.
Expected it.
Yeah.
This is why she hasn't had her hair done in 3 years, because she can't leave him alone.
Yeah.
Because every time she does, he kills somebody.
I feel like this is the first time it's happened, though. You think that she hasn't gotten it done in 3 years. Well, I feel like she probably
hasn't left him in 3 years.
Probably like the fear of that. Like he hasn't actually killed anyone before.
I mean, she seemed like she knew it
he
was
must have given some sort of sign.
And her face was literally like, what am I going to do with you?
Right.
Not like, you're terrifying.
Right. Let's also
a demon.
Just understand that this is Tate's son, who's also like crazy pants.
A sociopath.
Yeah.
But this child is supernatural. That's what is the main, like
right.
Tate's mental craziness
sociopath.
And
infiltrated into the kid.
Yeah,
it's all.
But he has
there.
The power to who knows what.
The end of the world is a coming.
Yeah,
it's the end.
He was so cute too, the little actor that they cast. Such a
he
cutie.
Was.
And
he
it
was,
makes it even scarier
that's
that he's
even
cute.
Uh-huh. He's like so
yeah.
right.
Benign
he's like he's exactly like Tate. Is he is like the perfect like the physical
good looking
perfection,
yes.
but like mentally just unstable.
Definitely. Do we have time to jump to commercial, Jesse, or do you want us to just power through?
It's the sign of a serial killer.
All right, we're not going to jump to commercial. So were we able to pull up some of the fan mail we received?
No, David? I don't
know how to work this thing. I can pull it up for you. Our good friend in the Philippines sent a very lovely piece of fan mail.
We've gotten some great letters from you guys. Thank you so much for writing into us week after week.
We love
Phil
it.
Phil actually forwarded me one just right now. Do you care to read it, Mersey?
Go ahead.
Okay. Hey guys, I love the podcast and I love listening to you guys. I have a feeling that whatever reason Tate shot up the school is very important, and I don't think it's just because of the drugs or wanted to piss off Constance or anything like that. I feel like it's something way more. And I feel it's very important because they emphasize too much on it. I mean, too many people have asked him why he did it, and he never answers. So I think that's very important. Also, I don't know if you guys noticed, but in Halloween Part 2, one of the dead Breakfast Club ghosts said, "You asked me if I believed in God. I said yes, and then you shot me." But we obviously know from the flashbacks that Tate doesn't say anything. Thoughts? Also, the fact that when Violet looks for info on the massacre, the articles say killers, as in more than one. I don't, but I feel that we haven't seen the whole story just yet of what happened that night, ... Thanks.
You know, when the Halloween episode part two aired, and then they showed us the actual killing people, that did cross my mind. I just think it was something that they might have overlooked, or maybe it's something that the person was thinking in their head.
Right.
I mean, it's just, it's one of those things that you have to let go, like, right, in terms of that, because
there's so many other things that are
so much more important than, like, why he didn't ask the goth girl if he believed in God.
But they did make
a big point to, like, have the goth girl say, "You asked me if I believed in God, and I said yes, and you shot me, and it's not even something I believe."
Right.
They did make a point.
I think that, what that said to me in that episode, it seemed actually not as important to me. It just sort of seemed to speak to how there was no reason, rhyme or reason to what he was doing.
Right.
And I think that's what that was sort of illustrating, that he was just nuts. And I think that the reason that we've been hearing about this so much is because of Tate's unwillingness to admit to what he had done.
Right.
I don't think that the act itself, what the act
was that
stands
significant?
For anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think what it was what we saw in tonight's episode, how tonight with Ben, it was, I think, the first time that Tate has ever said aloud what he did.
Right.
And it was sort of, he needed to take responsibility, and that was the first time he ever had. And I think that's why he's been confronted with it so much, because that was his arc. That was what he needed to do,
right,
was to accept responsibility. That's what we've seen everybody has been needing to do that. We saw Larry needed to do it. That's been an overarching theme of this series, was people accepting responsibility for the wrongs they've committed in the world.
Right.
And I think that
was even alluded to tonight. Constance told Ben he was finally taking accountability for his sins.
Right. That was over and over has been sort of like the thesis of this show, is people accepting responsibility for the horrors they have committed in the world, whether small or large. So I think that's, to me, is more of why that was brought up, rather than there was any sort of larger significance to the event that day in 1994. Mm. That's what I took from it.
I agree with you.
I agree with that.
But thank you for writing in.
Yes, thank you.
Do we think there were multiple murderers?
Multiple murderers, no.
I think that they were assuming there might have been, because they didn't know who the murderer was when they wrote the article.
Right,
when they
wrote the article. So that explains that.
Because of so many
deaths.
Or,
like, when they wrote the article, they made it a plural so that people wouldn't be afraid. I don't know. You know how newspapers are.
Well, we need to give a huge shout-out to Larry in the Philippines.
Yes, we
who
do.
Who wrote a fantastic set of, like, I guess you could call them house rules.
Yeah.
Basically synthesizing how things work. And,
right.
And why or why not they happen. Do you want to just
we
kind
can't
of
read the entire
it's really,
email,
really long. But
we can give you guys
it?
The rules that he gave us. Yeah. Just read just, the,
okay,
the capitalized
so,
things.
Rules. One, dead people don't know they're dead until they're made aware of it. Of course.
Of course.
Two, dead people only see what they want to see.
What does that mean?
Finish that one.
Oh, that may be why some of the ghosts don't know if the other inhabitants are ghosts or not. Again, Nora comes to mind. Three, dead people don't perceive time the same way the living do.
Right. Which was evidenced by what Moira
said. It's just one long today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Your existence is one long today.
Mm-hmm. Four, dead people with unfinished business stick around till they're resolved.
Right.
Why don't you read that one?
Okay. It says, if you think about it, all of the ghost inhabitants have unresolved issues, which brings the whole idea of the house keeping them trapped in this plane of existence somewhat moot. Perhaps it's a chicken and egg situation. Is it really the house keeping them here, or is it their desire to be at peace? Moira's body being discovered, Tate's refusal to remember the mass murder he's committed. That's what's really keeping them in this house. Is their troubled souls feeding the house's energy, or is there a pre-existing dark energy that's keeping them from being free?
Great points, wow. Larry. Yeah.
Really great. Really like the sum of what I think.
And then
this
he made
the chicken and egg situation.
Right.
Yeah.
He made predictions. One of them is the first baby might not have been stillborn.
Which we found out tonight that it did give off a small cry before it passed.
Mm-hmm.
Then he said, like, new house, new family, but that's for a later discussion.
Right. Yeah.
Larry,
thank you,
awesome
Larry.
Email. Thank you, Larry, so much. And thank you to everyone else all season long who's written in. We've loved getting your letters, getting your tweets, getting everything.
It's been
it has
amazing.
Been such a treat for us. Mm-hmm. Let's jump right into some predictions.
What?
Oh, so much.
They didn't so.
Do we have the tag?
No bumper. You were waiting for it. Give us a second.
Yeah.
And now. You're After Buzz TV.
Prediction.
Gets me every time.
All right, so there has been much debate, much discussion amongst the five of us, amongst, I think, a lot of people as to whether this
I think
story...
it's like amongst all viewers of
right,
this show.
Yeah. Whether this story is going to be continued in season two or whether we're going to get a brand new one. Go ahead.
Throughout the entire episode, I thought we were getting a brand new one.
Right, I did too until the very end.
Until Demon.
Exactly.
I think we should go around the room and give what we would like to see for next season. Because I think otherwise we're all just going to be fighting over each other.
Sure.
We can start with the lovely Stephanie.
I don't want to start.
It's too late.
Okay. What I would like to see, I mean, I guess just what we've been talking about. I there does have to be a family or else I kind of want more to go on with this house, but I do see what everyone else is saying. Like, how long can this go on? That whole family's dead. We need to not move on, I guess. I do want to see how these ghosts are going to move on, if they're ever going to move on. I feel like some resolution came around with we know Tate knew what he did. He finally admitted what he did, but... And he just asked Ben if he could hang out.
They just want to hang.
Wanted to hang.
This demon fetus is going to freak me out.
Needs a chill, homie.
It's been 3 years, so somebody has to be living in that house if it's going
to... Yeah, they didn't show anything with the house.
So I think since Constance hasn't moved, there must still be some of that family in there. That's all I can guess.
Okay. Deirdre?
I mean, I'm just very emotionally attached to these characters. I think it would be really, really upsetting to the audience if we didn't get to continue seeing the Ben and Vivian relationship evolve. I would like to see what happens with Tate and Violet, if there is maybe a future for them to be a little cute dead couple. I really want to know a lot about Constance's fourth child and why it was never revealed this season. Is there anything else I really care about? I don't know. I'll let you know if I think of anything. But that's sort of it. I just really, really love the Harmon family. And you can integrate a new family, but don't block out the family that we, you know, grew to love over these past, you know, X amount of episodes.
12.
Thanks. Thanks, David.
You're welcome. My prediction for next season is that the story is going to shift focus and focus more on Constance and the baby and what's going on with him growing up as being half spirit, half human, and not to say that the other families, the other ghosts in the murder house aren't going to be focused on, but the focus will just shift in the other direction and have Constance be more of a lead and the other characters be sort of a
secondary
story.
Right.
Oh, that was the other thing that I was going to say. Sorry, the baby being born in that house. I want to know if that's going to have any effect on... Well, obviously, he's 3 years old. He's already a murderer. But I would love to see what sort of an effect being born in that house could potentially have on that character.
Right.
Okay.
Sydney?
Well, I agree with Deej. Love the Harmons. I'm I would be livid, actually, if they just went to a different – obviously, they're not going to because it was a kind of a cliffhanger with the baby and Constance. But I also – I am ups cannot get enough of Jessica Lange. I think she is the most incredible character on the show, and I can't wait to see how she interacts with the baby. I think we have a lot to find out, like you said, about the baby and what it can do, what it's capable of, what it has to do with the connection to the house. I think – they had a creepy moment with Kate and – or Kate Mara and Tate.
Evan Peters.
Or Hayden Tate. Yeah.
What are, so distressed.
What are they going to do? Are they going to team up and be an evil demon duo?
Mm-hmm. I feel like she's going to try and get him on her side.
Yeah. Something. I think there's still a lot more to find out about Tate and really how crazy he is or anything. He kept saying, there are more things. I'll tell you everything. So who knows? Maybe something secretive that will pop up later that he's done. And obviously Jessica Lange's fourth child. We need to know who that is.
Right.
And what's going on with them.
Yeah.
And don't we want to see what passing on would look like? That little picture of family perfection standing in front of the Christmas tree. I mean, they looked so at ease. Yeah, and like you said before, said like the cello and doing things. She said in that pilot episode she hadn't played the cello in years, kind of alluding, oh, I haven't been happy in years. Now she's finally playing the cello again, sort of like a moment of symbolism.
Very symbolic,
yeah. So I would love to see the Harmons pass on to a different life.
And, right.
What do you think, Bill?
I mean, the way I see it, I think there's three options that I could see working. And the first one I would see the continuation with focusing, like I said, on the ghosts and their new quest is to find a way to pass on now that they found peace, as in the Harmons finding peace, finding a way to get out of there and be somewhere else if there is somewhere else to go.
Okay.
And how that works. And following that, that would, of course, bring in someone new to the house. Obviously, we jumped ahead 3 years, so there's a lot of questions, something to fill in that time. But I don't believe that by bringing somebody into the house that the show has to focus on those people, so I don't think that that's as big of a danger as we might have thought before by bringing them in. The other option I see with continuation is definitely focusing, like you said, the shift to Jessica Lange and following the son and sort of how that's a new American Horror Story, following a demon child. We talked about The Omen. We talked about these sorts of things, and that could be, you know, we could move away from the haunted house trope and move to
the coming of the end of the world.
Right, and focus on that. Or the third thing, and I think I'm maybe one of the only people who would not be as disappointed, would be to have this become an anthology series and
have
each season be an entirely different trope, because I think that it would be one of the boldest moves for somebody who's created something so zeitgeisty, something so popular, to be like, we ended this for you. We gave you every answer we thought you needed. We put every character where they needed to be. We gave you a coda to see the sort of hell Constance is going to deal with as her punishment for what she has done, and we're moving on and we're going to tell you another story.
I like that, as a punishment. Like, she thinks
she has
that
to
this,
figure out what to do with this
this
now.
Is what her life's been built
for,
up
but
to,
this
but it's
is
a
not.
Punishment. I like that.
You know, she gave her whole speech. It's what I went through everything to have this kid, and now he just ripped somebody apart.
Right.
Deal with that, you crazy lady. And that's where she's left.
I like
left.
That, but the end of Jessica Lange would devastate me.
Right. I mean, it would be a hard pill to swallow, but I do think it would be brave. And I just, watching Ryan Murphy as a creator of television for his past three shows, he has a track record of a first season of a show being incredible. And beyond that, he doesn't seem to know how to continue things.
Yeah, it sort of falls off the map.
Everything, I mean, we've seen Glee has gone off the rails. Nip/Tuck was a horrid mess after its first season. And Popular got canceled before we could even see what happened. So who knows?
Popular.
But he doesn't have the sort of greatest track record. And so I do think that this would be a way to sort of avoid that, to avoid just watching endless nothing because we like characters so much.
Right.
And being like, you know what? We got this great 12 episodes of really incredible stuff. Let's try. Let's do something else. Let's have 12 episodes of something.
I think you're going to be in the minority of people.
I know
that
I will be.
That.
And I usually am.
I would be.
People get attached.
Insanely happy.
And the normal. I know, but the normal viewer likes to get attached and likes to follow a story. Otherwise, you're going to go. You're going to watch a miniseries. You're going to see a movie that could have been condensed into a movie.
But
if every single
scene... But I think that's sort of the idea.
That's the idea.
I mean, I get that, but I just think the masses would be upset with that.
But and then the masses love to complain 5 years down the road when the show doesn't mean anything anymore. Yeah. And it's like, pick your poison.
But well, then I feel like people are fickle sometimes. And you know what? Like right now we say like, oh yeah, I would never watch it.
But you
Ben Harmon isn't in it. You know what? I guarantee you, because I'm such a fan of the show, I would tune into season two.
See what they're going to do.
And if, yeah, and if I liked the new horror element that they're integrating, whether or not it involves a home or a spirit or something like that, I would totally give it a chance.
Because if you, I mean, you have these, you know what they did with this. You have to trust that they could do it again with something else.
With how genius this was, I mean, honestly, I'd watch it.
Right.
So I'd give it a good, like, half a season before I give up. There's plenty of options,
and I'm so excited to see whatever road they take, and I have a feeling we'll all be back here when it starts.
I think we'll be back here sooner rather than later.
Well, for American Horror Story.
Did you guys discuss Jessica Lange's SAG and Golden Globe nominations last week? Okay, yeah, like, honestly, so well-deserved.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely.
And the show,
I'll be rooting for her.
The show is nominated at the Globes, too. Yes. So exciting.
We're very excited. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in with us every week.
Thank you, Billy, for always being a wonderful
Yes, thank you for being wonderful and dissecting this show in ways we'd never be able to.
Find all of us on Twitter. We'll be back in the new year on all of our other shows that we host. Yeah. And we will be back probably in the second half of 2012 when American Horror Story returns.
Yes.
From everybody at AfterBuzz TV, everyone here with me, thank you guys so much and have a great night.
Bye. From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.